scripture will we see Jesus more upset, more angry. Nowhere in scriptures will we see Jesus, finding Jesus speaking harsher words, condemning words. So let's think about this. If Jesus himself embodies the gospel, if Jesus' message is all about the good news, well then, judging by Jesus' strong negative reactions, we can conclude that this particular group of people that Jesus was addressing, they had departed from the good news, the gospel. So today's message is entitled, Gospel Drift. Gospel Drift. And so today, if you are not a believer yet, you're new to Christianity, I am so glad you're here, because that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the essence of the gospel, the good news. And for those of you who are long-time Christians, you grew up in the church, you know all the Bible answers, this message is for you. This message is for you because that's exactly the group of people that Jesus was addressing. And Jesus used this word, woe. Woe to you. Woe to you. Now commentaries tell us this word, woe, is the strongest, most negative, divine pronouncement upon man. Woe, woe to you. And surprisingly, Jesus did not speak these harsh words to the prostitutes, the criminals, the drug dealers, whom we would consider as sinners. But no, he reserved the most piercing and condemning words for the Pharisees in biblical time. The Pharisees would be considered as the most religious people, the most law-abiding people, the most faithful church-going people, like the majority of us today. The truth is this, there is a Pharisee in all of us. A word that Jesus used interchangeably with Pharisees is the word hypocrite. The word hypocrite. Hypocrite, this word, we know this word because we heard of this word. People, non-church people, use this word against the Christians, right? Oh, we don't go to church because the church is full of what? Hypocrites, right? Church is full of hypocrites. So Dr. James Kennedy, a well-known pastor and author, he responded to that statement, church is full of hypocrites. He responded to that statement by saying, oh, don't worry, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more hypocrites. The point is, nobody's perfect. Everybody's a hypocrite, right? And then he followed by saying, and if you find a church that is perfect, whatever you do, don't join that church because you're going to ruin it. The message is clear. We are all hypocrites. And if we're honest, there is a Pharisee in all of us. There's a Pharisee in all. And the thing is, we don't even know it. We don't even know it. But that's why we need the gospel, right? Not just for the lost, not just for the unbelievers, but also for us, believers in Jesus Christ. We need it each and every day. So with that in mind, let's look at today's passage. Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 42. I would love for us to read together, first time in English, and then the second time in Chinese. All right, let's read together, first time in English, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisees were surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone."
说话的时候，有一个法利赛人请耶稣同他吃，耶稣就进去坐席。这法利赛人看见耶稣不洗手，就对他说：“如今你们法利赛人洗杯，里面却……”要把里面的，你们就都洗净了。你们的法利赛人有祸了，因为你们已经祸了，赏赐分之一，那公义的难道不行吗？是你们当时不行。
May God bless the reading of His word.So what are the signs of a Pharisaic heart? What signs should we watch out for? Here's the outline of today's message. Number one, when we choose to focus on the external more than the internal. Number two, when love and joy are missing from our Christian life.Number three, when our relationship with God is reduced to simply rule keeping. I believe God has a message for all of us today. Let's look at the first sign of a Pharisee is when we focus more on the external than the internal. In other words, God wants us to pay more attention to our heart than what's on the outside. We are people who are big on the externals, right? Don't you think? I mean, we go the extra length to make sure that we take care of our externals. A report was just published last year, according to News Nation. It says Gen Z,plastic surgery has hit an all-time high. Cosmetic surgeons reported a spike in demand for cosmetic surgery from clients under 30 years old. 30 years old. Now, what caused? I thought cosmetic surgeries are for people that are a little bit older, but what caused these young people, good-looking, youthful people, to go under the knife to correct the way they look? What's going on, right?So experts, they say that the pandemic is one reason for this spike. Citing, and you use this term, Zoom boom. Okay, Zoom boom as a driving force. The Zoom boom refers to a nationwide spike in demand for cosmetic surgery when many young people,realized that they were unhappy with their appearance after spending months looking at themselves on Zoom. You know what we're talking about now, right? People look at themselves on Zoom. They don't like the way they look. Do you like the way you look? I don't know about you, but I wear these bifocal glasses. So, you know how I look at Zoom? I do this. So, for months, I've been looking at myself up the nose. I think I should get some plastic surgery done as well. See, let's face it, we all have a tendency to pay a lot of attention on our externals, and so often we neglect what's on the inside, right? Let's look at this familiar verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. While everybody is looking at us from the outside, and that's the mistake that the Pharisees made. They focus so much on the outside that they miss what's inside. And today's story starts with Jesus being invited to a Pharisee's home for a meal. And it says in verse 38, "But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not wash his hand. He was astonished. He was shocked. Jesus, how could you not wash your hand? This is the end of the world." What's the big deal? What is the big deal? You know, the ironic thing about this story is that even though Jesus may be the only person in that room that did not wash his hands, but you and I know that no one in that room had a cleaner and pure heart than Jesus. But the Pharisees, even though their hands are perfectly clean, they wash their hands, they're so clean, but their hearts are filthy. That's why Jesus said in verse 39, "You Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." Verse 33. "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful meetings in the marketplaces." What Jesus was saying here was that you're all about image, how people perceive you. Image was everything to the Pharisees. My dad is also a pastor, and on any particular Sunday, the pastor, at the end of the service, the pastor would have to go up on stage and introduce newcomers. Now, that's just the tradition and the culture of the church. So my heart goes out to my dad, because that's not an easy job, right? Because, I mean, you don't know who showed up, who didn't show up, you don't know who are the new visitors, you don't know. And so on the spot, he has to recognize this so-and-so and so-and-so. And, you know, some people, they really want to be publicly acknowledged. And if you don't acknowledge them in public, they think you don't respect them. They think you don't respect them, and you end up offending them. And I have memories of my dad after the service, all right, or, you know, at a Sunday night when we're having family dinner, he'd be kicking himself. He's like, "Aya, I forgot to introduce so and so," and he's just so, just so hard on himself, because now so and so is unhappy, and now so and so is offended. You see, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they looked so good on the outside. They had people's respect and honor. But they were all about externals, image. Listen to what Jesus said to them, Matthew 23:27. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which looks beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Now, it does not get any clearer than that. God wants us to focus on our heart, not just the outside. It's not that the outside, the external, is not important. It's just that when we take care of our inside, our outside will follow. Like Jesus said here, Matthew 23:26, he said, "First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside will also be clean." The inside is more important. Watch out for your inside. Look at this verse, Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says, "Above all else, guard your heart." Guard your heart. Why? Because it is the wellspring of life. When you take care of your heart, everything else will follow. My brothers and sisters, can I ask you a question? If Jesus was here, he would ask this question: how is the inside of your cup? How is the inside of your cup where nobody can see? Nobody can see, only you know. How is the inside of your cup? What is the condition of your heart? May we pay close attention, not just to how we look on the outside. And by the way, we all look really good today. You look great. But not just the outside of our cup, but the inside, where God is really looking at. That's the first point. Number two, a sign of a Pharisee is when love and joy are missing from our Christian life. Christian living should not be burdensome, but should be characterized by love and joy. But look at verse 42. Jesus said, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." See, that verse has got heavy burden written all over it. See, Christian life should not be all about hard work and burden. Yes, it's a lot of sacrifice, but if it's all about hard work, if it's all about labor and sacrifice and no joy and no love, well, something is terribly wrong. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ in verse 28. Here, Matthew chapter 11. Can we read first time in English and then second time in Chinese? "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
凡劳苦、重担的人可以到我这里来，我就使你们得安息。我心里柔和谦卑，你们当学我的样式，这样你们必须安息，因为我的担子是。
This is from the lips of Jesus Christ. It's so freeing. It is so liberating. When you read this passage, you feel your burden lifted. Today is Labor Day, right? Labor Day weekend. It's It's a time for us to commemorate those who have worked really hard, those who have done a lot of labor. As Christians, we commemorate the labor of Jesus Christ. He has done the work, the heavy lifting for us. And we, he tells us, when we come to him, the work is done and we can find rest for our souls. Not burden, not hard work, but joy, rest, love. Listen to how the Apostle John describes a true Christian. 1 John 5, 1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So right here, you see that the Apostle John is talking to believers. He says, how do you know you are a true believer in Jesus Christ? You love God, you love others, you obey his commands. And look at verse 3. He quickly commented on what he just said. He says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. He said, yes, if you're a Christian, you need to obey God's commands, but remember, his commands are not burdensome. A true child of God is characterized by our love for God and others, and not burden. The Pharisees, they got it all wrong. Their priorities were all wrong. They focus on the wrong things. When Jesus was asked this question, Jesus, what does it mean? Teacher, what does it mean to love your neighbor? What does it mean? Who's our neighbor? Jesus, he gave an illustration. The story of the Good Samaritan. And it's a story about a man who was robbed and was dying on the side of the road. Two people passed by this person, knowing that this man was dying and needed immediate help, but they did nothing to help this person. And at the end, it was a Samaritan who lent a helping hand. Now think about it. I want to ask you this question. Who were the two people that passed by this man that did not do anything to help? Look at the passage, Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 32. Who were the two people that did not do anything to help? Who were the two people that did not have love? One was a priest. The other one was a Levite. What does that mean? In today's language, one was the pastor of the church, and the other was the worship leader of the church. Where were they going? They were going to church. They were going to church to preach a good message and to lead people in worship. See, they were doing everything right. They were doing the right things, but they did not have love in their heart, you see. No love. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. The Word of God says this about people who have no love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-12. Here it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and angels, if I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all God's secret plans, possess all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but did not have love, then I would be nothing. Now, I could do all these things, but if I don't love others, it's nothing. It ends up to be nothing before God. And today, as we gather together in the name of Jesus to worship God, I hope that when God looks down upon us, I hope he sees a group of people, not just here to listen to a sermon, not just here to sing a few songs, but he sees a group of people who love him and who have love for one another. We love, the Bible says, we love because God first loved us. And it's because we have the love of God in our hearts, we can love one another, which leads us to our last point. And this last point sums up everything we're talking about today. How do we know we have a Pharisaic tendency in us? Number three, when our relationship with God is reduced to simply rule keeping. God wants my lifestyle to reflect my relationship with him instead of rule keeping, which was the opposite of the Pharisees. A word that was used to describe the Pharisees was this legalist. Legalist. Jesus calls them the teachers of the law. Why? Because they were so into the letters of the law that they missed the spirit of the law. They missed why the law was there, the purpose behind the law. And Jesus gave an example of this. And Jesus used the example of tithing, verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So what's going on here was that these Pharisees, they were so meticulous in the way they tithe, to the point that they were tithing, get this, the smallest of herbs. Oh, God, here's a little basil for you. Oh, here's a little mint. Oh, here's some sesame seeds. They were tithing all these little things, but they missed the point of tithing. In other words, they were following the rules. They were following the rules, but they had no relationship with God. Now, tithing is a Christian duty. Keep in mind that when you can tithe, you can give part of your income to God. You can tithe, give offering without love, right? I mean, you can tithe without love, but listen to this. You cannot love without tithing. Let me say that again. You can tithe. You can give offering to God without loving God. But you cannot love God without tithing. Because when you love God, you cannot help it. You want to give something. You want to give something back to God, because everything you have comes from God anyways. I trust True Life is a church filled with people who generously give to God, not because you have to, but because you want to, right? Not because you feel obligated, ooh, I feel bad if I don't give to God, no, but because you're so loved by God, you cannot help it. You want to give something back to him. How did today's passage, today's story end? Verse 53 and 54. As Jesus was leaving, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees became hostile and tried to provoke him with many questions. They wanted to trap him into saying something they could use against him. See, their hearts were so hard, so calloused, so unresponsive to Jesus. Why? Because they had no relationship with God. You heard of this before. Christianity It's not a list of do's and don'ts and do's and don'ts. No. Christianity, it's a genuine relationship with God. That's what Christianity is all about. It's like the story of the prodigal son. You heard that story. The story of the older brother. See, the younger brother, the prodigal son, was rebellious. He asked for his share of inheritance. He left home. He squandered all his money. One day he came to his senses and he decided to go home. Oh, the father saw him. The father welcomed him home. The father was so happy. He said, "What was lost is now found." And so he threw a big party and he invited everyone to come to rejoice with him, to celebrate with him, because the lost is now found. So everyone came to celebrate. Everyone came to the banquet except one person. And who is that one person? It was the older brother. It was the older brother of this prodigal child. This is what the older brother said to the father. Look at this. Verse 29. He said, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." That's what the older brother said. Now, look at what the father said in response. He said, "My son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours." Now let's take a step back and look at, compare and contrast these two statements. Do you see the difference between these two statements? The older brother, what was his focus? He focused on work, labor, tasks, while the father focused on relationship. Do you see that? Do you see that? The older brother worked so hard to earn his father's favor for him, while the father said, "You never had to earn it in the first place. It's yours to begin with. Everything I have is yours." See, that's the heart of the gospel. Let's look at a few verses here that speaks of the gospel. John 3:16. Let's read together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. 神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。 God loves the world. He loves us. He gave us his only son. All we have to do is believe in him, trust him, and we will have eternal life. That is the gospel. Let's look at the next verse. Next verse. Let's read together. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 凡接待他的，就是信他名的人。 他就赐他们权柄做神的儿女。 That is the gospel. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, they thought they were worshiping God. They lived their entire lives following rules, obeying the scriptures. They thought they were doing all the right things, but they had drifted from the gospel. They missed the point. My brothers and sisters, would it be terrible that one day when we see our Heavenly Father and we see our Heavenly Father and we're going, oh, that was hard work. I mean, my entire Christian journey, oh, I've done so much sacrifice for you. Are you happy with me now, Heavenly Father? And have the Father said, no. You missed the point. You missed the point. I just wanted your heart. I just wanted your heart. I just want you to be close with me. I just want to have an intimate, genuine relationship with you. My hope and prayer for all of us is that we can focus the internal, the heart, over the external. That we would focus on love and joy in our Christian journey and not duties and obligations. And that we would focus on our relationship with God and not just rituals and rule keeping. And may we live our lives not as slaves, not as workers of God, but as sons and daughters of God. And let everything that we do for God be a natural outflow of our genuine, intimate relationship with Him. And we do all these things for God. We obey God, not because we have to, but because we want to. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for opening our eyes to see your heart. Thank you for reminding us that you don't need us to do anything for you. You just want us to be close to you. You don't need our work and labor. You just want our heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, your deep desire for us to draw near to you. Help us. Help us to really live our lives like sons and daughters of the living God. And help us to rejoice in you each and every day. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.